Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
So I want to also encourage you to take a moment to go over the previous messages, and because this is a continuation. So this is a voice to the church, the voice of the Lord to the church, and this is the third part. So I want us to read from verse 12. For those that are following online, I want you to follow truly. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos, write, these things says he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith. Even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain amongst you, where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against you, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So, as thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. And I think we spoke about Nicolaitans. Thank you. God bless you. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth except he that receiveth it. Verse 18. And unto the church, the angel of the church in Thyatira, this thing saith the Son of God, who has his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass. I know thy works, your charity, your service, and faith, and your patience, and your works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against you, because thou suffered, you permitted that woman, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants. Jezebel had a ministry to pastors, a satanic ministry to pastors. If you love your pastor, if truly you love him, you must not allow, it is your duty as a church member, not to allow any new member, new visitor, become too close to him. No matter the devil that is pursuing that woman. Especially if the person is a younger person. the Jezebel anointing is not a female. The Jezebel, what did I say anointing? The Jezebel spirit is not gender biased. And maybe we need to, this is actually a teaching for prophetic school. But maybe we need to look at the qualities of the Jezebel spirit. If I'm opportune, I will give you a few here. But look at her target. She targeted the servants of God. And then when she takes out the servants of God, she doesn't need to worry about you. Because if you smite the shepherd, the sheep will scatter. She teaches them, she teaches and she seduces my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent. Which means this woman was actually a true member of the church. God gave her room to repent. God will not judge anybody that he never gave opportunity to repent. So we can be here and say, God, why? Why did she die? Why did she die? God is just laughing. You don't know anything. Even Satan is laughing. Because when that person sees God, all the opportunities he was giving or she was giving, she will be looking at it like this. And how she despised it. So the book of Revelation introduces Jesus, the first few chapters introduces Jesus to us, not as a lamb, but as a lion, as a king, as a judge. So you must know that dynamic so that you know how to behave yourself. He said, I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation. God will afflict them, except they repent of their deeds. I will kill her children. This is Jesus talking. This is what I mean. Imagine someone comes to you and say, "Thus saith the Lord, I will kill you." Say, Pastor, what did we do to you? You went to bring this kind of prophet. The word of God is yea and amen. Say you have seen another level of prophecy. Anything the Spirit of God says must be good. It must be edifying. It must be exhortation. It must be comforting, right? 1 Corinthians 14. That one is not the ministry of a prophet. That one is the gift of prophecy. When you enter the ministry of prophet, God can ask you to tell someone. Like Isaiah told that king, prepare your will. Arrange your houses. Lay your bed because you will die. So, God said that we kill our children with death, and all the churches we know that I am he that searcheth. What does God search? The reins and the earth. God searches the spirit of people. You may be doing something. God is looking at your heart. All this showmanship. He said, and I will give to everyone according to his works. But unto you I say, unto the rest of you in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, you see, and which have not known the depth of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you no other burden, praise the Lord. See? But that which you already have, what should you do? Hold fast till I come. Are you still here? These are the words of Jesus. That's why I'm reading it slowly. Because somebody may tell you, God is love. You know, Jesus, I believe in Jesus. He's love. Is it this one or another one? He that overcometh and keepeth my works to the end, unto him will I give the power over nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I have received of my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Somebody say amen.
Let's start.
So even if this is the only thing I did, I've given you something to think about. The first thing I want to share with us here is that we must give a lot of attention to the things that we are hearing. We have a generation, the generation we live in now, they do a lot of hearing. But there is no responsibility on our part to follow, to try to obey, to seek the Lord. Today, people no longer choose the church they attend because they learn about God. They choose the church they attend because of the type of chair that they have. Or do you people have AC in that church? Are you on your way to hell? Which one should you be worried about? The hellfire that has no AC? And when people say these things, it sounds like every church is supposed to have AC. Okay, contribute. We have a growing population of Christians who do not know God, like in the days of Gideon. So we have a big problem. Jesus told us that the second coming will be like the day of Noah, where only 8 people were qualified to survive. Most of the people that lived in that time were condemned. When God puts this information out there, it's because he wants us to know that simply because something is trending doesn't mean it is him. Simply because the lyrics look scriptural does not mean he's there. That if he wants to spread his gospel, he doesn't need billions. Are you here? If God wants to do his work, he will look for the hearts of men, not a man with money. And if God wants to spend money, he will be the one to give you the money. Not as though we need to make the money so we can help him. The man who tried to help God so that the ark of God will not fall. What happened to the man? He was destroyed on the spot. You cannot help God. You cannot marry a man thinking that you will change him. Are you the Holy Spirit? You cannot go into a relationship with somebody and you are hoping that you can change it. You better fight for your life. So when I read scriptures like this, look at this church of Pergamos. There was something very unique about this church that the other two churches did not have. And if you read the 12th verse, you know, one of the first things you may want to observe here is that for all those churches, Ephesian church, what's the second church? You will notice that Jesus always spoke about their works. You know, when I thought about this thing during the week, and I became afraid for myself. If Jesus were to come now, what are some of the things we think he may be interested in our lives, in terms of works? Please, ideas, anything. What do you think Jesus would like? What do you think he may consider important as far as he is concerned? Any ideas? Huh? Sorry? Our love life? I'm talking about works. You are not wrong, but I'm talking about works. Isheta and Shefolong. Evangelism. So winning. That's the first thing. You cannot be a soul winner without your heart in the right place. You are laying foundation, Pastor David. We'll come back to love, but I'm just talking about the works now. The physical works. Soul winning, right? Now, the question here is that if soul winning is going to be a major requirement, what does that mean? It means that Jesus understands that he shed his blood. And that every soul must be accounted for. Right? Let me ask a question. What is the most popular unit in the church that people like to join? Choir. Why do we think so? It's fun. It's a lot of rehearsals. Then you only, people see you. In fact, one of my brothers told me that if you want to know the finest girls in any church, check the choir. My brother, to any church you are going, check the choir before you join that church. See the way they were training me. My brother told me to say when you go, just sit down. But say first time, if you notice the choir, say don't stand up. Some churches the ushers. So. Okay, media, for those who want to learn certain skills. But in terms of popularity, you have to give it to the choir. Yeah. Okay, secondly, what other unit do you think could be very popular? Like people like? Welfare? Nope. So let's take second place as the protocol, the ushering. Because they always wear very nice, you know, and then maybe the media, right? So all of this will in some way fall into the... I'm not asking, some of you say, Pastor said, you now leave media team. Say you want to go and enjoy evangelism. That's not what I said. I'm just trying to... We are walking from question to the answer. I'm just saying that if, as a protocol officer in church, you have not seen the connection between what you do and how souls are accounted for, it is not a ministry yet. If you are a member of the media team, we are using a local church as an example, because somebody will say, we'll go and start typing rubbish online now. If someone is in the media team and has not seen that the gospel and the way it is being presented, for instance, I'm standing here now and the camera is focused on the empty spaces. The person speaking is here. That means whoever is behind the camera doesn't understand why we are here. So there are going to be certain people who just log in on YouTube and for some strange reason God wants to speak to them. And the live stream will just pop up. Somebody commented on one of our videos. It was a short 1 minute video on YouTube. The person is American. The person said, this video captures my experience for so many years. The oppression I had to deal with until Jesus had mercy on me. I had to call that. I reached out, I sent a message, and I prayed for that person. So imagine that the Lord co-opted somebody online and said, just stay online. And our life, you know, sometimes when the video ends, it just brings up another video, and sometimes it could be a live stream. Boom, and Harvest World comes up. And while I was about to say, these are the 7 things you need to do, then audio loss. I am not aware. But you see, the problem is not that you could have controlled the audio loss. The problem that the Lord will have with you is that you did not anticipate it. You did not prepare for it. You had to wait for people online to be saying, no sound, no sound, no sound. And then there was a soul somewhere. This particular person was in the US, so only God knows what time zone, like 6 hours, you know, behind. And you lost, God lost a major opportunity to redeem one person. Simply because there was somebody behind that camera or the console or the computers who could not make the connection. So everything ties back to souls. If you know that naturally you are not someone who is very happy or likes to smile, you have no business in the ushering team. It's just what it is. So don't be angry. We need more men in the prayer team. You can bring that anger there. Because we need to destroy principalities and powers. And I need to channel that anger. By the time we are done destroying the principalities, there will be nothing left. We will not pray for you and minister to you the spirit of joy. Please, I want you to understand that God has expectations. And the moment you know that you are not saved to be lukewarm, and that we live in a generation that is generally lukewarm now, that it is acceptable to be lukewarm, that if you find somebody that is being zealous for God, you are even surprised. Well, why is she everything church, everything God. She wants to talk about God. She wants to do evangel. If she commits a sin, she will be crying. My friend Pastor Wale in Ibadan, he was here to preach some years ago. If you see him, you will never know he's a graduate of law. Like he went to law school and passed. You will never know. He has become... I'm not sure it's the same heaven I'm going to with that guy. Because there must be another heaven. Because when I see him, I don't... Even when he calls me, you know, he talks to me like a missionary. Say, prophet, ekpele, bawuni, how is the church of God? You know, here is a man of God. How are you doing? How's the ministry? How's mama? You see, he doesn't talk all that rubbish. He said, man, he will speak to you in Yoruba. Ekpele, bawo deni, cholo onro in lowo. Is God still helping you? I say, we thank God. We thank God. So he say, oh my blessed, I don't backslide. There are some people who never, you know, there are some people, maybe you used to have one or two friends before. Anytime your fire is low, you just go and greet them. Because from when you enter, you say, hey, come sister, see what I read this morning. Say, and the word of God says, I know where you dwell. You know, say, you know, only Psalm they read. He said, sister, we need to be careful. We need to be close to God. She has not even given me water. Say, come. You know this church, Pergamos, she has started preaching. You just came to greet and rest. 2 hours, 3 hours, she never stopped. She never asked you, what do you think? I just came to greet you. But it's a sign that you also know that your fire is almost out. Jesus said, I know your works. All the churches, that was the first thing Jesus started saying to them. I know your works. So when Jesus says, I know your work, you see, you know, there's a white throne judgment, right? What will be happening at the white throne judgment? You know that there will be the initial judgment where God will send some people to hell and some people to heaven, or to his side. But there's another judgment, the judgment of the believers, where he will test the work of every man. You see, Jesus is giving us this so that you are not asking that it's because of the situation in my life. At whatever level you are, you can be useful to God. You must know it. You see the way this my sister ran in because she came late. She ran, I was just looking at her. I was just like, sir, that was the way we used to run 1 minute or 3 minutes to service starting. Way back, that was how we were taught that when you are late, you don't stroll in. So those who came early are fools. Then the God who you told 6 p.m., you think he was not here before that time? Or you think it was your opening prayer that brought him? You had an agreement with him that it would be 6. You told him that I will pray 12 midnight and he was there. You were not there. You slept. Say, I know your works. I know you are not reliable. You think these things are... You say, God, give me grace. Or God, be disciplined. Leave grace first. Be disciplined. You see, in all of these three churches so far, he kept talking about repentance. Repentance. The last thing a Christian wants to hear today is repentance. That's why you will find people in churches fighting like unbelievers. And you're like, how did this one become a deacon? How did this one? Nobody is saying it because pastor doesn't want to offend anybody. That judgment. There's only one thing God will do there. The judgment of the believers. He's not judging grace, he's judging works. The day you are to sacrifice and it hurt you, so that the house of God, like David saying, how can I be sleeping in a palace? Huh? And the house of God is in a tent. When you had to inconvenience yourself financially, when you came out on a Saturday, you had feverish pains, and you came out and you still told someone, can I share the gospel with you? God will look at the effort. He will look at the result. Because the thing about this faith is that we are always sowing seeds. We are always sowing seed. Anybody you talk to, you are sowing a seed. Anybody you talk to, you are always sowing a seed. Anybody you talk to, you are always sowing a seed. That's why I say, pastor, I don't care who you are. You may be a grandfather of the faith. If you charge anybody before you pray for them, you will not make it. Yes. If you charge anybody and say, sow a seed before I pray for you, you will have a big problem when you die. You will have a very big problem. God will have a very big problem with you. But is that not what people do? If somebody tells you to sow a seed before, are you surprised now? No! I was talking to my brother, what's her name? Nishola's husband. In Ghana. Say that's the normal thing. Because even in Accra, Tema, all those areas, when you come, the first thing is, you already know. You cannot see the man of God empty-handed. You already know. So, go and do the right thing. He said when he got there and he started praying for people free of charge, when he's done praying for them, they will sit down. Say, you can go. They will not. They are waiting for him to say, it's 10 CDs, 50 CDs. He did not know on time. He just thought, maybe the... He didn't know why the judge just... Oh, God, you can go. Somebody else wants to say... They say, sir, how much? How much for what? Say, the administration. Do you see why there are so many false prophets there? Witchcraft on the pulpit. Somebody will tell you, bring your hand. He will put something on it. Say, rub your face 3 times. Yeah, go. If you want to pray, that's sometimes when some of you will know. If you say, I'll tell you, go and bring your own anointing. I will pray on it. Abby, what have I done that to here? I prayed on, Mama, thank God. Some of you, I'll tell you, bring your oil. It's not, the power is in the words. It's not in me giving, say something from Jerusalem. Jerusalem is in bondage. They need Christ. There's nothing special about getting something from Jerusalem. The person who escorted my pastor when they went to Jerusalem, this is where they gave birth to him. The man was smoking while doing it. Say we are in the holy city, but escorted by an unholy man. That's why some people still see relocating to America as an eternal achievement. But the desire to win Christ is not. Then the day you die, you now realize that everything you did, your grandchildren will come and say, this house is old. The reason why you refuse to follow Christ, your grandchildren will come and bring down that house. That car, they will say it's not popular again. They will sell it. The thing for which you decided Christ was not worth following. He said, I know your works. He said, I know where you dwell. He said, I know where you dwell. And you know the beautiful thing about where they dwell is that Jesus said that place was Satan's headquarters on earth. It's in the Bible. That scripture we are reading. He said, I know where you dwell, even where Satan's seat is. That means, where do you consider to be the most corrupt city in the world? City, not state. Like, no, all over the world. Could it be Los Angeles? Hollywood. Let's say Hollywood. Okay, Hollywood people, don't be angry. Las Vegas, exactly. Whatever happens in Las Vegas stays in Las Vegas. You understand? It is what it is. So, if you have problem with gambling, don't go to Las Vegas. You know, there are some places you don't go. Your faith is not solid. You say you want to try your hand in Hollywood. You want to try acting career, your acting skills. And you are still struggling with your prayer life. And you want to go to Hollywood. They added one L to the holy. Made it holy. Hollywood, that most of your popular actresses are recognized official witches. Go online. If you doubt, I'll give you the link. Go on. Where they said they are, the guy who acted that sinner's movie, was that Michael Jordan? They intervened. He said, "I'm a babalawo. My family. That, I think his mom is from Nigeria." He said, "They are from a family of herbalists. That I am a babalawo. So I brought that into the movie I acted." Many of you can't rise to a certain level. Satan doesn't approve of you. Who are you? You will choose one, whether you want to follow God or follow Satan, to think they will allow you rise there and be a lone ranger. No. He is the God of this world. Anything that has to do with making it in this world, he must approve. Satan will approve. Can't serve me, I can't promote you. And a lot of us are already being promoted by Satan because of the useless things we say. Like, why will a Christian be praying for hours when the Bible says pray without ceasing? So this particular Pergamos, Jesus said that was, as at that time, that was Satan's headquarters. In other words, if you are looking for how to lose your soul, the remaining fire you have, go to Pergamos. If you want to backslide, say, "I heard that things are moving in Pergamos. I'm leaving. I want to move to Lekki Gardens. They say things are picking up there." You left Mushin, left Yaba. Yaba, there's a prayer warrior there, raising fire every time. You left that man, went to Lekki Gardens, where we don't know any intercessor, holding the place for God. You now get there, saw people walking with scanty clothing. Your remaining fire, all of a sudden now, we can't reach you again. Satan's headquarter. How do you know where Satan's headquarter is? It is the seat of iniquity, where sin is being celebrated. Everybody from top to down, sin. If you are fine with it, do it. That's where sin is. Where they tell you, and some of you are listening to me now, this may be your last opportunity to hear the gospel this way. Allow his word to enter your heart. You cannot be holy on Sunday and be walking nude on Monday. You have a fake Holy Spirit. The true Holy Spirit is jealous. He doesn't share. He said, even though you live in the headquarters of Satan, he said, "You hold fast my name." This church, they became so used to living there that their soul became hardened. They were solid Christians. When you see a Christian from Pergamos, you can't tell him anything about sin. He has seen it. But their faith, you know what they did? They stood together. You see, when you live in a community of sin, the only way to survive that place is to live within a Christian community. Those kind of places, they will be meeting every day. I hope you know, in the Bible, in those days, they met every day. Yes. Uh-huh. If I ask everyone now for the next 6 months, we'll be meeting every evening on YouTube. That's when somebody will say, their network is always fluctuating. Please, I want to ask you, all those Nigerian Nollywood, we have some popular actresses, if they release a movie on YouTube today, in 24 hours, you'll see 2 million views. 24 hours. I don't want to market their videos because I don't like them. But you see 3 million. Why are the people watching all these movies? Is it also the same folks with internet data issues? Do you know that on YouTube and many of these other platforms, where platforms that are SEO optimized, do you know what I mean by SEO optimized? You cannot input hashtag pornography. Nothing will come out. Hashtag, go and try it on YouTube. Hashtag sexual sin. Hashtag, because, okay, we are here for business. We are not here for revival. If you want to do revival, go to your church. This man of God was thrown under the bus and destroyed because he released a video online that had over 86,000 views. One video. Even me, in my lifetime, I've not achieved that. Only for our brethren that we are working with. they said we cannot put an advert on that video, that the advertisers are angry at him.
Spiritual spouse.
It was a teaching on spiritual spouse. People were blessed. People were chatting him, asking for prayers. But you see that video and the person that made it, YouTube threw them under the bus. We don't want this kind of thing here. That video would have given like $2,500. Free money. And it would have given him more fire to spread the gospel. They killed the fire, killed the money, killed everything. So me, I became discouraged. If my mentor has been treated like this, who am I? Am I? Okay, just stay your lane. If you have done this to the... how do we say it in Yoruba? To the tree, the wet... Igitutu. You people, do you remember that proverb when in our old churches... If they have done this to the healthy tree, what will happen to the tree that is dry? In our church in those days, Mama, I get one song, what would they sing? Eh? When we sing the song, I don't know, maybe Pastor David and Pastor Kwe, and maybe Pastor David will know the song. You'll be hearing, Ati she isi gitutu, igig big be unko. Have you heard that song before? Igbekele Jesu oba to le shon gbogbo baye yan mi je ko le wo. Is original Yoruba. Waiting the song mean be say, if I am cheated in this world, it's not a bad thing. They cheated my Jesus. That as wonderful as Jesus was, they crucified him. So who am I? That's the song. That's the meaning when you look at the message. That the song now says, having trust in Jesus is the most important thing. Say, because the world will cheat you. He said, but before they cheat you, you must know that it doesn't mean anything, because they did it to Jesus. All this song they sing now is, yeah, who wants a revolution? Who? See where we are. Jesus now made reference to Antipas. There was a man in that church named Antipas. And Jesus referred to him as what? Faithful Matthias. See, I want you to be seeing that when we are talking about works, the things that Jesus considers to be important to him, they are not the things you did out of your convenience. Jesus has never emptied your account. And you say you are following him. Like I say, you never meet him. You are okay. You are still, maybe he still sees you like a spiritual baby. That's why he's not talking to you. Jesus. Jesus had told Peter and his friend, go and bring one man's colt or donkey without notice. Jesus that will come to you this month as you are praying. Father, as you go and bless us, he will just put one thought like breeze will just enter your mind. Send 2,000. Your last money. Send 2,000 to Pastor Brink. Pastor Brink, I don't need my money. He says, now, do it now. One brother in this church about 6 years ago sent me 3,000 naira. I've said that to you before. Nothing. 3,000 naira. The brother was looking for a job. I was in a bank, 3,000 naira. Me, that God has finished complete. Calling my money, calling my ATM card. I didn't have money. He sent me 3,000. I saw the money. I was working on my computer. I saw it. He now sent me a message. He said, Pastor, I'm ashamed. I know this money is small. He said, please, I just feel led to. I told my, I started, I said, my God will bless you. My God will. He did not know that I meant it. That 3,000 was now the only money that I had. But he did not know. In his mind, he felt like, pastor deserves more. That 3,000 was now my only money. So I did not spend it. I just paid tight. I kept the balance. But I was the pastor of this church. Are you here? Listen to me. When God begins to inconvenience you, it means he has finally decided that he can do something with you. When God begins to inconvenience you, And my brother, there's reward though. Shebi, now you are not even paying tithe. My brother, when God now starts with you, he will tell you, okay, after your tithe, we have removed your transport fee. Take what's 30% of your salary. How much is that? Check it, say 90,000. Okay, this 90. This woman, give her 15. He will be teaching you. You that you wanted to write one professional exam. He will share your money. You say, sir, what about my exam? He will not answer you. This thing of sacrifice, we must recover it. No sacrifice, no power. That's why those who fast more are usually more anointed. Yes. You that say, the Holy Spirit is living in my heart. I have the Holy Spirit. I know who I am in Christ. They are still pressing you to press you. Press you. The demons will sit on that person, eat breakfast and lunch and dinner, and you'll be shouting, Jesus, Jesus. Like, the more you shout his name, is going far. So we'll spend the billion. We'll spend the billion. We'll take the nation. Take your belly for one day. Take your belly for 1 week. Don't eat. Fast. And the only prayer, Father, we pray in the name of Jesus, let there be revival in the land, let there be revival in the land, Lord, Lord, Jesus, Jesus, all your servants, in the name of Jesus, serving you faithfully in Nigeria, Father, in the name of Jesus, strengthen them, Lord, I pray for Samisa, I love you. Sorry, oh. Is there anything we say, I'm just praying for the body of Christ? For 7 days, say yes. But in the heaven, Jesus looked at his angel and said, I know his works. Say, this faithful martyr, they hung him. This man must have been some kind of intercessor or somebody that was like a father figure in that church. They took the man, put him, killed the man brutally, and the church continued. In one of the eastern parts of Africa, some of those guys who, not bandits, some of those militant soldiers, they are not government workers, they are militants. They come into certain, I think they were even soldiers, government soldiers. They didn't want any church to meet. So anywhere they found people meeting for Jesus, they would go there and shut the place down. And it was on a Sunday morning. They came and saw this small church of maybe 15, 20 people and, you know, meeting upstairs. The pastor was the one on the altar. His wife just had a baby. She was holding the baby, seated in the congregation. Why people meeting? Don't you know that this is illegal? And they picked the baby and threw the baby from the top. The shock. The pastor was on the stage preaching. Say, don't, if you open this place again. The pastor and his wife went downstairs, picked the dead baby, came back upstairs, sat down. Oh, glory, glory, glory to the Lord. Hallelujah, Hosanna. Ah! Yeah, these are the people we are going to collect crown with. You better stay here. I was afraid when I was hearing that testimony. They didn't ask Jesus to bring the baby back home. The pastor did not preach. He sat down with the congregation. Hallelujah, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Say, I know my servant, my faithful martyr, Antipas. Oh, it wasn't just because he was killed, it was because he lost many things. So let me ask you a question. How much has the Lord actually troubled you in the last 1 year? I want you to look at, I know you have a journal for my messages, but do you have a journal for the number of souls you have won this year? One of the signs of revival in a church is what? The passion for lost souls. The passion for lost souls. Do you know why now even God doesn't work with us in evangelism again? Because when we preach to them and they become twice the son of hell inside the church. Because when they come, what do they hear? They hear everything except Christ. He said, I have a few. You know, look at this radically sound. Don't you think this church is a good one? A church that is able to stand in their resolution to follow Christ. Don't you think that's a good church to attend? Look at what Jesus said. He said, there are a few things against your name. In other words, they had gotten like 40% of the objective question they passed. Now, we want to test your knowledge of theories. Jesus now said, there are some things. So, I am seeing here
that you people still, there's a doctrine of Balaam that you people preach and practice here. Balaam? Who is preaching Balaam here? How can a church be on fire like this and be teaching the doctrine of Balaam? And what is the first thing the doctrine of Balaam will do to any believer or to anyone that listens to it? It will put a stumbling block. You know what a stumbling block is? I'm here now. You now put a stone or a rock here and it's dark. I trip and I fall. The doctrine of Balaam is so sweet, you will never know that it is what it is. An example of the doctrine of Balaam is to say the Yoruba proverb that says, if I am serving an idol, mama, and that idol is not favoring me, what do? I leave it. Huh? That is part of the doctrine of Balaam. If you cannot help me, leave me. Let me look for a solution. You cannot force me to bring sacrifice here today. Next year, I bring sacrifice. And now, I have problem. The problem with Balaam's doctrine, let me show you very quickly. Number one, when you read that scripture, he said he taught Balak to cast a stumbling block. You know that Balak, who was the general, who was trying to get into the space of Israel, he could not succeed. He even tried to perform witchcraft. He tried to use Balaam. He could not succeed. Until Balaam told him, see, anybody that God is protecting, and you try, you cannot stop him. Look for a way to bring him into sin. You see the issue of many people saying they are praying, and they are still being bound. Go and check for holiness. When I say holiness, I'm not saying they don't make mistakes. I'm talking about deliberate sin. You see, what holiness will do for you is that it will bring a protective covering around you, such that because God has seen your heart, it's not as if your works are enough for God, but because God has now seen your heart, that you have made a decision for him, he will make up for that differential. You could have taken the money nobody will know, but it's not your money. If you see the money on the floor, it is not God's blessings. If you see the money on the floor, it is not God's. I said it's not God's. Except you are the one that kept it there. It's not miracle money. Balaam taught Balak to put a stumbling block in the lives of other believers. Anybody, no matter who you are in the church, in the body of Christ, that takes any step or decision to put a hindrance in the relationship of another man with God. Pastor, I'm a Christian, but you know, I'm addicted to fornication or sexual intercourse. Say, okay, you'll be reducing. Stop, little by little. No. You are putting a stone. I have done it before. But now, I saw it was wrong. Say, you can't try to make Jesus look good because you want someone to stay. Whether that person stays with Jesus or not is beyond you. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. Do you notice that even Pastor David, as Jesus kept talking to them, he kept saying, he wasn't here. We hear what? Did he say Jesus? He said, what? The Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the CEO of the church. Everything Jesus was saying there, he was saying it through the voice of the Holy Spirit. We must watch out. There are things we do that put stumbling blocks in the life of other Christians. And we say, after all, it's not a sin. It's not a sin, but it's a weight. It may not be a sin, but it could jolly well be a what? A weight. And if it's a weight, and it hinders another person's faith or relationship with God, don't say he's the one that refused to grow. My brother, Jesus will not let you go, because you are not the one that died. You are not the one that shed your blood. They asked you to come for evangelism. You ran away. Say you are feeling feverish. Now, we brought a soul with your wicked spirit. As the person was coming from the door into the church, I can't do it. So your very strong face. But you say, it's like there are soldiers that you have to be a soldier to be in the ocean here. I beg, I will not come here again. If you know you are angry, don't serve. Sit down and hear God's word. It's better for you. Because if that your strong face is the reason why somebody walks away and you say, I didn't do anything to him. Oh, really? Really? I'm not the one you have to deal with. Jesus said, Balaam became, he taught another man, Balak, how to raise a stumbling block. Somebody wants to date a lady. You are now telling the brother, you have to be close to her. You have to be close to her. Just let her know you are serious. Keep calling her, keep calling her. Give her surprise visits. You are overshadowing. Meanwhile, you really do not know the struggle this lady is going through. You call it around 11 p.m. to talk about what? Huh? You are not yet aware that at those times the mind is tender. Spiritually, you are not as alert. Let me ask a question. Don't worry, God has forgiven. Have you ever found yourself in a situation where you are supposed to be praying, but you were chatting with another guy or lady? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, see? So, that brother that you were chatting with other lady became a stumbling block, a stand in between you and your maker. If something had happened to you in that moment, that guy cannot exonerate himself. I want us to know, maybe in the church, some people just like to be different, rebellious. I am telling you, Jesus said that he will not spare anyone who is a stumbling block. Anyone who stands, if I, your pastor, now tells you, because there are some useless prophets that I am seeing every day, very useless. They have international whatever, but I can see their judgment. They will tell you that there are some things you cannot get in God except you come to them, through them, because they are your spiritual covering. From today, I came to tell you, Jesus is your spiritual covering. Leave me alone. Leave me alone. Jesus is the one that died for you. Huh? You say, it's my pastor, it's my... Okay, I have now come to tell you that follow Jesus. In case I come tomorrow, the day I come tomorrow and I tell you that you need to see me before you see Jesus, don't say goodbye. As you are going, pack your bags and move to the next church. Jesus doesn't want any go-between. Say amen. My job is to assist you, is to help you, not to replace God. It doesn't mean you can be rude to me, because the Bible also says that there are those he put in your space as overseers, pastors. Huh? Who will give an account over your soul? Which means the day I die, the issue of going to heaven for me is not about Jesus alone. Did you believe in Jesus? They will bring the list of every member of this church. That's why scripture says, don't be in a hurry to be a teacher. Huh? Your judgment is separate. And when you are also being pastor, don't make it difficult for your pastor. Some people are living in rebellion and they think it's because they have spiritual gift. Don't make it hard for your pastor, though. I'm telling you. Your pastor, especially if, forget about those ones that are saying rubbish. They are telling you to do salt ritual. I'm seeing popular pastors, the ones that organize crusades or conferences and you all go to. They'll say, bring prophetic salt, bring salt. So when I was in the occult, salt was what we used to mark territories for Satan. Territories. As they are making, they will be spreading the salt. We'll be spreading, back. If you don't know what to preach about, but you can teach Ephesians 1:17. He has given us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. You can teach Colossians. You can teach Hebrews chapter 1. God now speaks to us not through prophets, but through his son. You can teach new creation. You can teach salvation. You must be born again. There are things you can teach. Not rubbish. And because you are not satisfied with the simple gospel, you are looking for something that the world has not... Something that will blow your brains.
You take salt, mark your this thing, and you hand over your territory to Satan. Jesus said,
Balaam taught another man. You see, when you follow God, you will have access to insider secrets. When I'm close to you, because we are close, I know what to tell Pastor Tokwe if he wants to be close to you. Because by virtue of our relationship, I have certain, she likes cookies, she likes pizza, Pastor Tokwe will now behave like, it will now like, Pastor Tokwe is like, he can read my mind. Insider information. If she falls, my brother, you might have gone to the U.S. Your judgment is waiting. In fact, go there and be winning souls. You understand? Jesus said, you taught another man to place stumbling block. There are some things Jesus do not play with. Jesus said, even for these little children, if you make one of them to sin, little children, Jesus said, don't wait for me. Just go and get a big stone. Didn't he say it? So which Jesus have you been believing? Jesus is trying to tell you, anyone in my house, I don't play with them. So when Jesus says to you, my son, the way is with you is the way is with me. Jesus does not see me as more important than he sees you because you are a child. No, there is no grandfather in heaven. When Jesus comes, you are my brother. Even if I'm 100 years older than you, let's just get it and let everybody be humble. Tell your neighbor, let's be humble. What I am telling you will save you, will save me. I am anointed. But I realize if I don't want to be lost, I must go back to these things. Because nobody will be rewarded, Pastor David, on that day based on his spiritual gift. Go and check the people Jesus sent to hell on that day. They were the people performing miracles, doing this. Jesus sent all of them. Fire. You said you perform miracle. Was it you or was it my gift? So the gift I give to you can never be a way to measure who is effective. I will look at your love life. I will look at your works. The doctrine of Balaam adds certain elements. Number one, eating food offered to idols. All those your New Yam Festival and all those things people do when you travel. Some of them will tell you, oh, when you eat the Lord's body, you are eating the real body of Jesus Christ. Have you heard it before? Food offered to idols. Yes. Let it sink. You know, last Sunday, yesterday, today, I came here, I was laughing with you people. So, take this one. Go balance. Do you still love me? So you see that the way I dress now, I'm a was up pastor. So just as it hot, I dress like this deliberately. So you go there, take hands much more. Food offered to idols. What's the doctrine of Balaam? Food offered to idols and sexual immorality. That's the doctrine of Balaam. That you can contaminate anybody with food. Offer to idols, and you can contaminate them with the opposite sex, sexual sin. That's the doctrine of Balaam. There are some people who are saying, quoting Paul, idols are nothing. If you receive it with thanksgiving. Is your anointing strong enough to be quoting that verse you are quoting? Some of you, your parents take you to certain places and say it's for spiritual protection. They put incisions on your face. Hey! They cook certain things. And say, let me tell you. You must reject. Tell your neighbor, reject. See, let me tell you. Food is a way to transfer spirits. It's a viable way. You keep eating in your dream and you say it doesn't matter. It's the manner of heaven you are eating. Food is a way for spirits to communicate and transfer things. It's not only Satan that gives food in visions and dreams. God does it. There was a time God told the Israelites, he told the elders of Israel to come and meet him. And Moses brought them. And they ate in God's presence. They were in the wilderness. They were hungry. God gave them manna from heaven. Did they work for it? The scripture refers to it as the food of angels. How do you think they were able to survive in a wilderness for 40 years and their clothes did not tear off, their shoes were still intact for 40 years? That means as they were growing, the shoe was growing. Any clothes they give to a baby, that clothes will keep expanding. It doesn't need another one. Same thing with the shoe. If they need water, which rock is here? Oh yeah, Omi, water need to get your enemy. Water will flow. When Elijah was running away from Jezebel, an angel came to him and gave him food for divine strength. So if a food brought by an angel could give strength, that which is presented to you by Satan is poison. It will take away your strength. I said, am I wrong? Don't make the mistake and say, oh, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I prayed on it. Excuse me. You better hear God. Hear God. Don't prove anything until your master says, go ahead. Don't try what your anointing cannot cover you for. I've eaten poison before and nothing happened. But I wasn't trying to test God. You keep eating your dream. Even the one you ate and left over on your table in your kitchen, they brought the remaining to you in your dream. And you ate it. Added chicken to it. The leftover food, the one in your kitchen, they brought it into your dream. And you ate it. Now you are complaining. Say, there's one pain here. Listen to me. There is such a thing as satanic poisoning. Why did Jezebel? This lady was a member of that church. She had children in that church. And she would go to the altar of Baal, take food from idols, come and serve it in church and say she wants to be a blessing to people. And she was poisoning the spirits and soul of men through food. This was a New Testament church. And Jesus frowned at it. He said, no. Just because it's a love offering doesn't mean you should take it. If the devil wanted to destroy that church of Pergamos, will he tell them, I went to the Igbo Shere Shrine. And I brought the remaining sacrifice that was at the market square so that we can all share it. Do you think anybody will eat it? Eh? Somebody to, even you in your highest anointing, somebody to say, we went to evangelism for evangelism. When we got to Mende, Onigbongbo, where they are serving out, we just pick it. There's egg, there's palm oil, and ole. Moi moi. And what else do those girls like? Those girls like, you see, their choices are very poor. Those girls, they don't even have taste. You know? Taste. No taste. Akara and egg. Whoever combines such things. Very unclean things. But you see the things they like. You understand? See the thing they like. Someone have say he saw it somewhere, he brought it. That's what that woman was doing. She brought food offered to idols. Or they took you somewhere and they said, before we pray, it could be a white garment church, I don't care. Say, drink this water. And they register your soul as a member. You think that water will digest? You think that food you ate will die? It will be in your body. I've prayed for someone who was an all-A student. And then the student started failing. And they brought the girl to me. Once she enters the exam hall, nothing again. She won't remember. As I prayed for her, the Lord opened my eyes. I saw air growing inside her brain. Inside, not outside. Inside her brain. The Lord told me, said there's something in her belly. Poison. I was praying in front of the church, outside, like just outside. I said, this satanic poison. Come on. She vomited. Like, eh! The air, the moment she threw up that thing, that air growing inside her brain, you know, in the white of her brain, disappeared that semester, because the next week was the exam. Bam, she did well. Keep. If you don't know, I went to a meeting with some Indians. They came and said, what do you say? I said, hey, Ashay, I don't want. I don't know if you are sent. Some of you can eat anything. My dad,
They gave him a prophecy in church then. Say he should not eat from nobody, he should not eat outside. As we are leaving the church, he branched somewhere. Like my mom was livid, like what?
They just profess you. They brought you out in church, gave you a prophecy.
Say, don't worry about that. I know my level spiritually. You see, this issue of food, it's not only physical food. What you feed your soul. I won't be able to enter the church of theater, so we'll stop here. And Jesus said to them in verse 16, he said, repent. Jesus did not find it funny. You go for a ceremony of another religion, or they are doing one thing, one celebration, they bring the thing to you. If you don't have any food in your house, and that's the only food, don't eat that food like a glutton. The Bible says we must receive it with thanksgiving. I'm assuming that is the only food the Lord provided, though. So he lifted it to Lord and said, Father, I thank you for this provision. And pray a cleansing prayer. The reason why we pray the prayer of thanksgiving over our food is because the moment we do that, the food becomes sanctified before the Lord. Jesus received the 5 loaves and two fish and gave thanks. He didn't pray for multiplication. He gave thanks. The moment the heavens received that gratitude, they multiplied. Sometimes some of you see me when we're online, so I say, let's thank God again. I will still repeat it, let's thank God again. Pastor, enter, professor. Just follow me as I follow Christ. I don't know too many things. The few things I know, they are working for me. And I'm telling you, that prayer point you are so eager to start praying about is not as important as your gratitude. If you receive anything and you cannot, maybe in the office, they are doing some kind of buffet or anything, don't be the first to go there and carry your plate. Take your plate. See the way you are surveying everything. Don't survey anything like an hungry person. What is on that table? Puff, puff. Egg. Akara. In case you are from the other side. White rice. Fried rice. Jollof rice. Is it not this rice we eat in our house every day? You now came here, carry plate. You are so eager, say, my friends, come. You are now. And Jesus said, see the person who want to send to America to go and become a great. Say, come. We need to move fast before the food is set. Ah. Take your belly. You won't move fast. God will never trust you if your belly controls you. He will never. It was his son that died. The first assignment after those mistakes. Oh, go and conquer your belly 40 days. And conquer your belly. Because you will eat in Pharisees also. You will eat in Sadducees also. For they poison you. Go and learn how to say no. Because the nature of Jesus' ministry, he will be living day by day. He won't live out of affluence. Huh? So, for someone like him, any opportunity to eat well is from the Lord. And yet God said, go and learn how to say no to food before you start. There are pastors that lost their calling because they started eating at buffets. They started eating with kings. They now realize, so it's possible to live like this.
Wow.
So it's possible to live like this. My God. Glory to God. When you get back home, your wife's house image is powerful. The powerful there is the buffet. It's not that God moved. Wow. Glory to God. Am I saying we cannot do buffet? No. I said the Bible also says, King Solomon told us, so when you are in a public space where food is being served, he said, put a knife to your throat. How can you have a piece of everything on that table in your plate? And you're a Christian. So what have you been learning from God? Everything on that buffet table, you add one piece of it because you don't want it to waste. Is it your money?
Is it your money that was used to prepare the thing? What's your problem? Say, we don't like wastage. You know, no, brethren. Just because we do it in church and say people should eat, doesn't mean you should eat. If you are fasting 40 days and we decide to do love feast here, you must not eat. Yes. There's somebody else who is not fasting it. Suffer. Should you are fasting, suffer. My spiritual daughter in the UK, they were doing their end of year Christmas party in church. They were serving alcohol. No, was it not the pastor that said it? He said, brethren, you're welcome, let's pray. Hallelujah. He said, for those who don't like alcohol, they gave them and that thing for those. And she took the video, sent to me. I said, you need to change your church immediately. Immediately, if you can't find, you join the online live stream. Because where the pastor is saying, yeah. One of my former church, where we were wearing white garment that time, the Olusho, he drinks Gouda like a fish. And he has two wives. Big stomach. Tell your neighbor, put a knife to your throat. Tell your neighbor, put a knife to your throat. God warned them. He said, I will not stomach you eating food offered to idols that you know. Especially if the Lord is giving you a witness not to touch it. You must watch out for what you are also feeding your soul. Including Christian songs. The problem with a song is not the fact that it's a Christian song. The problem with every song is that if the prevalent spirit in the life of that person is an adulterous spirit, is a greedy spirit, is an unclean spirit, regardless of the type of song, that spirit will find its way through it. What makes a song Christian is not because you say Jesus. It is because the spirit that is dominant in the life of that person is the spirit of Christ. So you can be a secular musician with godly values and you're a Christian, and the songs flowing through you may not even have Jesus, but people, it feels like a Christian song. It has a strong... But you are just a professional musician. No? You are not singing Christian songs. But this dominant spirit in your life is Christ. Meanwhile, you can be singing a song and be doing like this. But what is that one song? Sorry, sir. Excuse me, I need to ask you. Let's even look at the spirit of the message or whatever it is you are doing. Because sometimes people confuse vibe with worship. Let's even look at what we are doing here. One of the requirements for anything that is kingdom must be that it is edifying. How can I watch your video and I'm thinking of loss? For whatever is what, I love the song. But I've also enjoyed it. I can't use it for my spiritual advancement in God. But for vibe, yes. If anything has Jesus, it doesn't mean Jesus is there. There was a man, his wife left him, and he suffered. He was a pastor. And people told him to step down because his wife left him. A man that is divorced should not be a pastor. And the man was emotional. He would preach every Sunday, but he could see the eyes of people. Like, why is the church council not doing something about this man? Eh? He's divorced. It was the wife who left, not that he sent the wife away. And one day, Jesus appeared to Kenneth Hagin. Hagin went to preach in his church. Hagin knelt at the, you know, in those days, the way they pray there, even if you are at your dining table, if you want to pray, you will go on your knees. All those small values that look like nothing, we will now put them together and now realize that, we started abandoning each of those things little by little, until we had nothing in us that reminded us of whom we belong to. Again, wanted to pray at the dining, decided to, Father, in the name of Jesus, Jesus appeared in a vision and told him to encourage his servant. Yeah, sir. He's divorced. Jesus said, he is my servant. In heaven, there will be surprises. There will be surprises. The reason why we are reading all these scriptures is so that we can take time to let's think. You have been hearing all these things, and you are not doing anything about it. There are Christians in churches who have only fans club, only fans on Telegram.
Everywhere is quiet. Either you don't know what only fans is, or am I the only one? Like only fans.
An average Gen Z now doesn't want to work because he has heard there are smart ways to make money.
So one lady even says she is into Christian only fans. Mama, you know it's the only fans. Make her explain. Madam, do you know what only fans is? You know, like this our WhatsApp, eh? There's Telegram. That Telegram is like WhatsApp. So you have people, they will pay to join the group. So the lady will be dancing naked there. That's just a simple way to explain it. Eh? But you must be a member or you join. Not be all this one where people go just the add person for group. Now you go pay. And you pay every month. But this one says she's a Christian. So when she starts, you'll be moving close more small. People will be shouting, "Oh my, oh my, oh my." They drop money. They drop money. Because her own is that nobody is touching her. That's what she's thinking. Nobody is touching her. It's on the phone. So she's okay. We cannot preach the gospel and not talk about these things. Because Paul is not here again. Peter is not here. And the sins we are committing now is not the same they were committing. So we have to be specific. And I'm also here to tell you that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You can't do what you like with it. Jesus will not allow you, except what you have is the fake Holy Spirit. I'm not saying you cannot sin, no, but he will stay on you until you repent. How you found a way to explain what you are doing, and Jesus is happy with you. How you found a way to explain it. Ah, hell is sure. When you see your brother in the ushering team tomorrow, don't just on Sunday, don't ask them, "How are you? How's your spiritual life?" Ask them. That's the official way to greet in this church now. "How's your spiritual life? Are you burning in the Lord? How many people did you preach to?" The evangelism team is not even supposed to be a department. It's supposed to be the spirit of the church. That even if you are busy from Monday to Friday, on Saturday, you know, if I come, there will be an opportunity for me to talk to someone about the Lord. What is wrong about that? Except that somebody is backsliding. Come on, say, "I repent." Go and get a notebook tomorrow. Go and get a diary. Call it soul winning register. Did you hear me? Go and get a notebook tomorrow. My brother, how old are you? I was 10 years when I led the first person to Christ. 10 years. So you are going to join the evangelism team. In Jesus' name. The first time I laid hands on somebody on the road when I was preaching and the person got healed, I was 10 years. 10. Like this. So God will use you. I will bless tonight. So tonight we all need to go home and repent. Unfortunately, I'm the one holding the mic, so the judgment will be more on me. But I'm also here to tell you, I will not make an excuse for myself again. So we'll go home. Go and tell everybody in Lekki Church, no more excuses. Nobody will follow Christ if they keep making excuses. Your job is to do the preaching. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to bring them in. And when the Spirit brings them in, don't leave them on the road. Bring them into the church. That is where Jesus can keep his eyes on them. If you cannot preach to them, tell them, "Come to my church on Sunday." When you see me on Sunday, say, "Pastor, she never born again." I'll say, "Okay." After service, carry and come. Just say, "Make a concrete, Pastor." "Ah, Madam, how are you? God bless you." "Shut that up. Come, let me pray. Let me pray. Father, I'll pray for you." And I say, "Sit down. Open Bible.
10 minutes. You want Jesus to change your life? He needs to wash away your sins. Huh? Are you right with God? Say, I still have sins most more. Okay. Jesus is the way. Then I will tell you how Jesus met me. Sometimes we preach, but we don't tell people how Jesus saved us. So they have no way to interpret what we are saying. You are just quoting Bible. You are the epistle being read. Huh? You only need one scripture. John 3:16. Whosoever comes to him will have eternal life. Then tell them, this is how Jesus met me. This was my life. And it can be your life too. I am like this because I met Jesus. Would you like me to lead you to Christ? You are not trying to convince the person. You are telling the person what will happen to him. That there is no life Jesus comes into and he doesn't bring his peace. And I'm here to tell you, concert is not the kingdom approved way. Music, dance, worship meeting is not the approved way for soul winning. Evangelism is. God did not move simply because 10,000 people gathered in a concert. If there is no record of who was saved or what the Lord did, the meeting is not complete. If you're organizing a concert, you must have a strategy for soul winning. In those days, when we organize concert, we'll bring up the pastor somewhere in the middle. He will quickly preach. My friend, Pastor Desmond, I followed him. We went to preach. He was preaching in a meeting, a concert. If you see the crowd in that place, the moment they say we want to hear the word of God, people got up and started going. My friend was on. He says, check! All of you stop there. Who do you think you are? I say, yes. Yes. He challenged them. He said, how dare you? You cannot walk. You are walking out. Yeah, I'm not the one. You are walking out on God. Stop there before the Lord judges you. They were waiting for him to finish preaching. They will not come inside and start. I didn't come here to entertain you. We organized this meeting to save your soul. You want to be shouting, hey, hey, who you are? Who? Say, stop there! You should jar the line. Hey, I say, yes. Yes! That's my friend, Pastor Desmond. We use money to organize concert. You now want to... Don't try me. Stop there! You foul spirit. Which spirit is telling you to stand up? Why are we here? You want to worship a God you don't know? Who does that? If they tell you what it takes to worship Ogun, can you stay? If they tell you the requirement for worshiping Obatala, can you stay there? Can you go to the Yeye Oshun River and be dancing like a useless person? If you have not been introduced and you've committed yourself, we are here worshiping God. Because I say it's time for a brief exhortation. And it's so winning. We are not saying God will bless you. Come and give a life. Don't dance to hell. Tell your neighbor, repent. Don't bother about anybody this night. Go and read Revelation chapter 2 from verse 1 to where I stopped. And look at all the requirements. Write it out with biro on the paper. Use your pen. Write it out. And see the things Jesus commended. See the things Jesus condemned. Then ask yourself, which ones here I'm missing in my life? That's how to follow God. Don't close your eyes and be crying. Say you are worshiping. Hey, leave that until Sunday. Today, when you get home, read that verse 1 to, is it 16? Or whatever. Read it. Then write out. What did Jesus commend in the Ephesian church? What did he praise them for in Simna? What did he talk about in Pergamos? What was he unhappy about? Everything you see there is what Jesus will talk about on the last day. Everything you see there. Shouting. No, 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 no. No, no, what? No, no, what? No, no, what? You win the world through music. Are you joking? The seat of Satan. You want to use the seat of Satan to win the world. Oh. Let's pray. Father, we ask for an uncommon visitation tonight. Lord, over everyone that's in this meeting, we ask for an uncommon visitation tonight. Lord, reveal yourself to us. Lord, we want to know you. Lord, some of us are struggling with sin. Lord, tonight, help us. Lord, we want to have a testimony that we met with you this week. Ha! Lord, do something new in our lives. Let the shackles of sin be broken. Let every weakness die. Give us your heart. Help us to know you. Help us to follow you. Help us to stand righteous in you. Give us the grace to follow you in such a way that your love will continue to fill our heart. And when we leave this world, we want you to be proud to see us. Lord, we pray for our brethren, wherever they are. Let this same message steer a fire in them. In the name of Jesus. We pray over the community of Maryland, and we destroy the seat of Satan. We pray over Bagada, New Garage, Lekki, Benin City. Everywhere our churches are located, we destroy the seat of Satan there. And we declare Jesus is Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.